This is BayCare Health Chat, another podcast from BayCare Health System. Here's Melanie Cole.
It's really important to note that if you are having a stroke or someone you know is suffering a stroke, getting medical care as quickly as possible can help prevent death or minimize the lasting effects of stroke. My guest today is Dr. Charles Sand. He's an emergency medicine physician with BayCare Health. Dr. Sand, tell us, what is a stroke and are there different types?
Sure, Melanie. A stroke, basically you have blood vessels, arteries that go to the brain, and a large majority of stroke is from decreased blood flow or total blockage of the brain called ischemic strokes. That's maybe 85% of strokes, and probably another 15% or so are from bleeding stroke, hemorrhagic strokes.
Who's at risk for stroke? Because now, recently in the media, we heard about a younger actor, someone in his 50s who died from stroke. So Dr. Sand, speak about the risk factors, and can even younger people have a stroke?
Yeah, actually, up to 25% of strokes occur below 65 years old, and we are seeing it at a younger and younger age. But there are certain risk factors that we watch for in stroke, that we try to modify, things like high blood pressure, diabetes, smoking, cholesterol, high cholesterol, bad cholesterol, if you will, lack of exercise, poor diet, drug abuse, excess alcoholism, heart disease such as atrial fibrillation, things like that. We definitely see much more strokes in people with uncontrolled risk factors.
Then let's talk about the symptoms, because there is an acronym that people are learning more and more. Tell us about this acronym FAST and what you want us to know about what it means.
Yeah, FAST is an easy way to remember stroke. I mean, if you want to get more complex, it's the sudden numbness or weakness, sudden confusion, sudden trouble speaking, trouble seeing, trouble with balance, and severe headache. But if you want to really narrow it down on a quick mnemonic, it's FAST, F-A-S-T, and that's for face, arm, speech, and time. The face is facial drooping, asking someone to smile and their face droops down. That can be a stroke. Arm weakness, ask the patient or the person to lift their arms, and if it drifts down, that's arm weakness. Trouble speaking or getting the words out, that's self-explanatory. And time, we want them to call 911 as quickly as possible to get them to the right place at the right time. So FAST, F-A-S-T, face, arm, speech, and time.
Why is it so important to not only think of that word time, time is brain, why is that so important? And why is it important to call 911? Is there something EMS can do that if we're driving a loved one, we could not do before getting to the emergency room?
Yeah, as far as the time, I mean, every minute, every second counts where brain cells are dying, as they don't get a good blood supply. So we want them to get to the emergency department as quickly as possible. And EMS actually has protocols in place to take them to the right place, depending on what probable type of stroke it is, to take them to a specialized stroke center. So they know where to go. A lot of people don't. So it's very important for both time and taking them to the right place to call EMS, calling 911 immediately if you suspect a stroke.
What happens then at the emergency room once you get there?
At the emergency department, we will first check their blood pressure, heart rate, make sure there's no problem we need to immediately address. Then we whisk them away to the CAT scanner as quickly as possible to look at their brain and see if there's evidence of either a bleeding stroke or certain ways we can do CAT scans can tell if there is blood flow to the brain. What that does is if the CAT scan is normal and they're within a certain amount of time, usually 3 to 4.5 hours, we can give them a clot buster, Ultaplase, or known as TPA, and break apart the clot. If they're in an extended window of time and there's a large clot, what we call large vessel occlusion, certain specialized centers can go up into the brain and with mechanical thrombectomy pull out the clot. So we need to get them to the right place at the right time.
Wow, isn't that amazing what you can do now for stroke? Tell them a little bit about the difference. What is mechanical thrombectomy?
Yeah, mechanical thrombectomy is when the specialist, and it does require certain places, have specialists that can thread a catheter or a thin tube into the artery, going up into the brain, find where the blockage is, and these catheters with a stent can grab the clot and basically pull it out. But again, it has to be done within 24 hours, and there are certain criteria that have to be done that we can see with a specialized CAT scanner to see the blood flow and if there is a large clot. But it's amazing. I've seen people with major clots and not moving at all or not talking, and after that's done, they're fine. They walk out without any problems. It's amazing treatment for many people.
Wow. It's truly remarkable. So, Dr. Sand, tell us a little bit about life after stroke. If someone is lucky enough to get to the hospital as quickly as possible, you've done TPA, maybe mechanical thrombectomy, then what is rehab like? And what have you seen as far as outcomes for people in stroke recovery?
Yeah, in recovery, if there is a disability after a stroke, hopefully there's not. If you get into the right place quickly, there is total recovery. But if there's not and they're disabled afterwards, depending on where their disability is, there's different therapies, rehabilitation, physical therapy, speech therapy, things like that, that can improve outcomes many times. So we want to get that started as quickly as possible and help them the best we can.
Yeah, it's so important for people to know all of these things. So give us your best advice. Is there a way to prevent stroke in the first place? And what would you like the listeners to take away from this as far as awareness of the symptoms and the risk factors?
Yeah, well, obviously the best way to treat a stroke is to prevent it in the first place. And we're talking about a healthy lifestyle and some of the things, you know, get a regular checkup. That's number one, because many of these risk factors are silent killers and silent maimers, if you will, such as hypertension, high cholesterol, diabetes, things like that. Smoking certainly should be stopped or avoided. Regular exercise, a good healthy diet, things like that. If you have heart disease, some people can be on a blood thinner for things like atrial fibrillation and enlarged hearts and things like that. They can be on blood thinners and other agents to at least minimize, if not totally avoid, the risk of having a stroke. But it all really starts with a regular checkup every year for people. I always say there's no better birthday present than to, on your birthday, get a checkup or right around that time, just to remember to do it, where you get your blood checked and then your blood pressure checked and things like that. But that can significantly decrease the amounts of stroke. We could probably prevent up to 80-85% of strokes if people would do that.
Wow, that's really good advice. And thank you so much, Dr. Sand, for coming on with us today. It's so important to hear from an emergency physician really what happens at the emergency room, because a bit of a mystery to those of us that don't work in the field. So thank you again for joining us. For more information on stroke services at BayCare Health, please visit baycarestroke.org. That's baycarestroke.org. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for tuning in.